My prediction is you'll be singing that for a very long time. Ever since I heard that earlier this week, I'm like, oh, one person. It's very catchy, trust me. But some of you don't just remember seeing those commercials. Some of you remember that moment when you got those 10 CDs for one penny, or those eight tracks for one penny, or maybe every month when you got the selection of the month. Remember those? And it was a great time to be alive. I got into the Columbia House. I actually think I joined BMG right when I switched to CDs. I had like 1,800 bad cassette tapes, and then we got a CD player, and I was like, well, we're going to have to do something about this, because CDs seem very expensive, but they were the future, so I wanted to be part of that. And so I joined, I think it was Columbia House and BMG, because that was a good move, because you could get 24 CDs for a dollar, and you're like, well, it's no big deal, because I only have to buy one other selection, and I'm going to religiously send that little flyer back. Like, remember the card that would come in the mail? Some of you do. Some of you still owe money to Columbia House, and I'm going to tell them that you're here, because they're looking for you. But it was great, because every month, you know, you got those first CDs, and you're like, this is great, man. Look how my collection is growing, and I have, for some reason, squirrel nut zippers. They seem awesome. Swing's going to be here forever. And so you're like all excited with those, and then every month, you would get the selection of the month, but don't worry, if you send the card back within 15 minutes of getting it in your mailbox, you won't have to pay anything. So it seemed like the best deal in the world, didn't it? In fact, a little part of my childhood died realizing, like, maybe this isn't the great deal I thought it was. But very successful subscription service. In fact, they hit all of the bases. Every week we've been talking about things we subscribe to, and the science of, I don't know if it's science, but the marketing of subscription-based things are access and curation and replenishment, and they had all of those things. Because nowhere else on the planet can you get 24 CDs for a penny. And nowhere else on the planet, they were like, we have all of the hottest hits. You saw the commercial, one person at a time. They had all of the hits, and they would send them to you each month, and you always needed new music. It wasn't like, oh, I have squirrel nut zippers, I'm good. You know, I can stick with that forever. And so they were very, very successful. In fact, I was going back and looking at some of this. It's pretty crazy. In 1996, they had 16 million subscribers to Columbia House alone. And if you combine that with BMG Music Services, which was the little smaller one, it was over 24 million subscribers. And at that point, in the mid-90s, over 15% of all records and CDs were sold through music service subscription services. And they seemed to be everywhere. Now, what started out, though, for a naive Missouri boy like me, what started out of this beautiful moment where I was going to get 12 CDs for a penny ended up paying $19 for a Hootie and the Blowfish album. How many of you did that? In fact, I did a little research on this. 3 million Hootie and the Blowfish cracked rear view window mirror were sold on Columbia House alone. I mean, can you imagine? You can, remember? And I remember that was the saddest, lowest point, because I had forgot to mail back the thing. And not only did I not want a Hootie and the Blowfish album, and I know some of you are going to go, that's my favorite guy, cool. I like the country version. Wagon Wheel is better than Hootie and the Blowfish. I'm sorry. But I remember, like, I don't want that album, and I paid $19 for it, which seemed like a fortune. And that was sort of the moment you're like, oh, maybe this isn't the amazing deal I thought it would be. And here's the math. I did a little research on this, and there was actually a documentary on this, and it's pretty incredible, like, how they made $1.5 billion a year at Columbia House alone. Because number one, I didn't realize this, I thought they were just the same CDs, but they actually leased the masters for the CDs, and they did their own pressings. I didn't realize that. And so they were actually of cheaper quality, and they had less liner notes. I just knew that later on when, I don't know if you remember these, but they had like CD stores where you could trade in CDs, they would look through and go, no thanks, these are Columbia House. And they were right about that. I just thought they were being mean, like, because we paid a penny for it. Truthfully, they weren't as good. They were cheaper pressings. They didn't have all the liner notes. And good news, if you thought that the newer music subscription service are working to screw musicians, they didn't pay musicians either. They actually bought the masters from the company with the deal that anything given a free would not pay royalties. So no one, Hootie didn't get any royalties on anything except the selection of the month. But the deal they made with musicians was you do get to use the numbers for the charting, you know. So it was like, hey, you get to be on the chart, you sold a lot, you just don't get paid. But that's how, and because the CDs that they made were so cheaply done, that $249 shipping and handling actually covered. And I don't know, like, I'm always wondering, how do they handle it? They didn't handle anything. But what they did handle is that the $249 actually covered the cost of the CD. So really successful business plan. They went out of business. They actually joined with BMG in 2005, and soon after both went under, if you're wondering what happened to them. But I've been thinking a lot about that, and as I was remembering back on that, I thought, I've had sort of that same experience with church. And I would bet that many of you had as well. Like, you go in thinking, oh, there's this amazing, and I don't know how it came to you. The way I heard the story was, just pray this prayer and you'll go to heaven when you die. And God's going to sort of take care of everything else in the meantime. Like, life is going to be so much better. You know, you get to choose heaven, which sounds way better than hell. And God's going to care for you. Jesus loves all the little children of the world, so he's going to take care of everything for you. And all you have to do is say a simple prayer. I mean, it was way better than 12 CDs for a penny. It just seemed too good to be true. And then the sad thing for many of us is it sort of felt more like a $19 Hootie and the Blowfish album that you didn't really want or subscribe to. It felt like we were promised, like, oh my goodness, this is so simple and it's a free gift and this salvation thing, it'll change everything and you don't have to worry and you don't. But then, just like Columbia House, like every month someone's like, but you do need to do this. And you do need to give this, and you probably need to attend this, and there's some things you need to change in your life. And so my guess is that many of you have had that experience with church. In fact, that might be of what brought you to Action Church this morning, that like me, you thought, well, it sounded a lot like 12 CDs for one penny, and it turned into the $19 Hootie and the Blowfish album. And there's good reason for that. Because we've been reading all month this idea, this great news that Jesus said, and it's what, you know, we didn't make this up. Jesus said these words, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Jesus probably said it better than I read it, I'm guessing. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, and you will always be where I am. He went on to say the next thing that I just can't get past because it's still so powerful, this idea that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And so he asked us, basically we've been thinking of this a metaphor for what Jesus said. He's like, I prepared this place for you, and here on earth, I've got the ultimate in access and curation and replenishment, like everything that would make you want to subscribe to this. Like, I give you access to God and to heaven. And as far as curation, the truth. I mean, how many of us struggle with what is true and what is not true? And he's like, I am the truth. Not I'll tell you the truth, like, I am the truth. You just follow me and you'll know the truth, and then I will give you life, eternal life, life that never ends. And it was sort of the best deal you could imagine. I mean, now, then the question kind of comes that you and I have to struggle with, and you and I have maybe been very hurt by as far as church goes, which is it? You know, is it the 12 CDs for a penny? Is it that exciting thing? Like, oh, that's too good to be true. Like, all I have to do is raise my hand right now and I get to go to heaven. Or all I have to do is pray a prayer, a simple prayer, and I get to go to heaven. And then someone else will tell you, and God's going to work out everything in your life. You can just pray and God answers prayers. And so you don't really need to struggle here because God is going to take care of your life for you. Is it that? And then somebody else will pull you aside and go, yeah, I know they told you that, but let me tell you this. It's really this. Like, there's some things you need to know. There's some things you need to do. There's some things you're going to need to give up. That's the thing that comes next. Like, it's not as simple as you think. It's in fact, it's going to cost you quite a bit once you start to get into the years go by. And so we sort of struggle. And maybe we've been disappointed in the church, and maybe we've been disappointed in, definitely disappointed in religion, and maybe you're even disappointed with God because you thought you were getting 12 CDs for a penny, and then the bill showed up for Hootie and the Blowfish, and you're like, I can't believe I paid $19. I tried to find it. I must have tossed it out of the window or something. I couldn't find it. I was like, because I still have crates of CDs, and I was actually going through, that was my research for the sermon, trying to find that CD because I know I purchased it, because I remember being so mad getting it, because like, not only did I overpay, but if I wanted to hear Hootie and the Blowfish at that time in 90, all you'd do is turn on the radio because they were playing every album cut every day. And so I want to sort of do something this morning, and I'll sort of do the work for you, because there is an answer to that question. There is an answer to that question, whether it's sort of this too good to be true, 12 CDs for a dollar thing, or if Jesus' plan was sort of, you're gonna pay, you're gonna overpay for this. It's gonna be difficult because we're reading sort of this, the good news as almost a tweet. It's so short. But the Gospel of God, John, this guy John wrote the good news. It goes on much further than that. And I'm not going to sort of summarize the entire book, but I thought if you just sort of started where Jesus said, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's a heaven, and I've got a place for you. And even better than that, there's room for anyone who wants to go there. There are many rooms. They're never going to run out of space for you. And where you and I can sort of stop there, I thought what we could do, and this actually wouldn't work very well, is we could just read the rest of the book of John and we could find out if that's what it said. I'm not going to make you do that. I did the work for you. I would suggest, like, if you've never done that, and here's how easy it is now. Honestly, you should just listen to the book of John. If you get the YouVersion, I used the app this week and I just listened to the book of John, and this like awesome English guy read it to me. So it's not that difficult, but in sort of summarizing that, in chapter 14, he said, I'm going away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then in verse 15, he says this next thing that he says is, you and I are going to be connected from now on if you subscribe to this idea. So he said, think of it like a vine. It's a very famous teaching. In fact, you should read it because it really, he gets very in the weeds and very in-depth about describing how this thing that we call Christianity actually works. He's like, here's the deal. Like, you can't do this on your own. You're going to have to connect to me, and I'm going to have connect to God just like a vine works. And so then he also lays out this thing of like, you're going to be known by your love, but not just any love. Like, you're going to love others like I have loved you. And then in chapter 16, he really gets in depth about the bad times coming. In fact, one of the things that you sort of realize when you read chapter 16, it's like, Jesus was very clear about what was going to happen. Like, no one should have been surprised when he was crucified and died, but they all were, because he told them very plainly, like, I'm going to be killed. You're going to be scattered. Like, really bad times are going to happen. And then he tells them, but there's this new thing coming. Like, in fact, Jesus says these words, and it's still sort of shocking for us to think, because we imagine, like, wouldn't it be better if Jesus were here and we could ask him questions? And you're like, yeah, so far in the sermon, that would have been helpful. But like, what Jesus would say is, no, it's not better. Like, he said that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, that we don't fully tap into, and most of us go, oh, I don't even understand that. Jesus said that was better. And then in chapter 17, he actually prays a prayer. And it's a really interesting prayer because he's talking to God not just about his disciples. He actually talks to God about his future followers. Like, he predicted that people would come years after he was gone, that people would still follow him. And then he prayed for those people. He prayed for you and me. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, he actually said a prayer, and I feel like I'm giving a commercial for the book of John, and that would be a great thing. I'd love it if you'd listen to it. But he prays for us in the future, long after he's gone. He's like, I'm not just praying for my followers here. I'm praying for my future followers. And he prays a very detailed, and then the next thing John says is he's predicted that he's going to be arrested. He's predicted that everyone's going to scatter. And then in John 18, it actually happens. It actually happens that everything Jesus predicted comes to pass. Everything he's told them is going to happen. Everything that he said, hey, this is what's going to happen, and even predicted the way they would act when that happened. And then in John 19, we find the trial of Jesus, and it's a terrible thing. It's a trial of, like, probably the only innocent man. You know, we talk about people being innocent now. You know, and it's interesting, like, how many people have been on death row and then proven innocent because of DNA? And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to think that someone, not that they were on death row, and then, but the next part where DNA evidence is proved, like, they didn't commit the crime, they didn't commit the murder, or they didn't commit the rape, and then they're actually, can you imagine, like, they're going from death row to back into society because they had been wrongfully accused, and we go, they're innocent. But here's the deal, and I'm not, none of them were innocent. They're innocent of that crime, but if you and I were put on trial and say we're innocent, we've never done anything wrong, not true. But Jesus, who's never done anything wrong, he's convicted and sentenced to death. I mean, truly the only innocent person. And then in John 20, it's like Jesus is back and he's walking through walls. He doesn't knock anymore. He eats fish. He makes fish sticks. It's very different. Like, they can this is the very confusing part. Like, they can touch him and they can see he still has the scars, but physics no longer applies and he's able to walk through walls. And then finally in John 20, you should read this because it's very incredible. Jesus shows up on a beach. He cooks the guy's breakfast and he reinstates Peter, who's completely lost it, who's gone away. Peter's like gone back to his old job. And Peter is the only person in scripture who's re-recruited by Jesus. And he makes him the leader. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. It's amazing. It's an amazing redemption story. It's all good. But here's the thing. There's no point in all of those, like I've described them very poorly for them, but you read them yourself or you listen to them yourself. There's no point where he said, hey, this is 12 CDs for a penny. Just pray a prayer, or hey, just raise your hand, or hey, just get baptized and life's going to be perfect and you're going to sort of coast into heaven and all of your graphs are going to be up and to the left. I mean, it's going to be amazing. I mean, that's not the story. The story is, hey, bad times are coming. Hey, you guys are going to fall away. Hey, I'm going to be wrongfully accused and I'm going to be crucified. In fact, if you think that maybe I'm just sort of editorializing or that's my opinion, listen to what his disciples said. I want to read this to you because it's pretty interesting to think, like, in the same chapter that we read how, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life. All these super inspiring things that we go, that is good news. His disciples said, at last, you're speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you know everything and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God. Which is interesting that this happens 14 chapters into John, because you and I like to think, like, oh, these guys, in fact, we're told this story, right? Like, they followed Jesus. They walked away from their jobs. They left everything. They did. But man, they still had doubts about Jesus all the way through. Like, is this guy really? I mean, we've seen him do amazing things, but they're at this point saying, yeah, now we believe you came from God. And Jesus said, do you finally believe? But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you all this, so that you may have peace. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. See, Jesus never promised this sort of free ride to heaven. Jesus never promised, hey, 12 CDs for a penny, that's too good to be true, too easy to imagine. But on the other hand, John didn't give up his life for some sort of religious plan of drudgery and pain where it's like, oh, I get it. I thought I was getting this amazing free gift, but it's really like I'm going to sort of overpay for the Hootie and the Blowfish album. I get it. Like, did life just doesn't work like that? Good things like that. It's neither. And it's so, so clear when you read through this, the rest of this book. Like, it's not this, maybe this thing that you were promised where you just say a prayer or you just jump in some water, or not jump in, you're escorted into some water and you're dunked in some water and then everything's better and you sort of coast into heaven. But it's also, there's no way that these guys would have given their lives. There's not a single person in that room when he's talking to him going, guess what's going to happen? And they're going, thank you for telling us plainly. Only John didn't die as a martyr. All the other guys were killed. And John died after being tortured and exiled. They thought he was never going to die because he honestly lived at a time we probably would have been a blessed thing for him to die at the end of it. So none of these guys died peaceful death. None of these guys... They gave up their life for this message, and it wasn't some sort of religious drudgery where you sort of, oh, you got to pay your dues, and then someday you'll be good enough to, it couldn't have been that either. See, it was this thing. I mean, this is a powerful thing. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. See, this is a powerful thing. And this is real. And see, this is the thing where when life comes at you, when you get that text that sort of, maybe you don't drop to your knees, but your heart falls out. Or when you get that call, or when your wife tells you, you know, it's over, or your husband says, I have to tell you something about the job. I haven't been. When these things happen that are just beyond belief, when these things happen that are completely unfair, when these things happen that are just beyond any justice here on earth, and you go, that will never be right. That's when this comes into play. This idea that, man, you're going to have troubles. There's going to be bad things that happen to you. There's going to be injustice. There's going to be pain. There's going to be death. There's going to be illness. There's going to be loss. There's going to be grief. There's going to be heartbreak. But guess what? Take heart. I have overcome the world. See, overcoming the world... That's something, I don't know about you, but that's something I can subscribe to. Because see, that doesn't mean some sort of 12 CDs for a penny and nothing else to pay ever. That dream, that's not real. That's the, hey, just say this prayer and life will be great for you. Hey, say this prayer and you'll just coast into heaven. Hey, say this prayer, health, prosperity, wealth, nothing will ever go wrong. In fact, you'll know you're doing the right thing because life will be beautiful. That's not what Jesus promised. But it's also not drudgery and religion and paying your dues and, oh, you're going to struggle, but maybe you'll sort of someday make it into heaven, which doesn't sound like a lot of fun either. It's not that either. See, this thing, I don't know if you've ever had that moment in your life, but I have. That moment where something hits you that's so painful and so unfair and so out of your control. Maybe it's a death or a loss or an illness. And when you get that call, that's the thing that tests your faith if you're a Christian. I know it tests my faith, and I've been following Jesus for, I don't even know how long, I guess we're getting on 40 years if you, hard to imagine. But I still have that moment when I think to myself, like, well, how does God allow things like that to happen? How does God allow something so heartbreaking to happen? I mean, that's not fair. It's not right. And I don't know where you landed when you heard that, or I don't know where you will land, but I hope it's where I landed. Which is, we have a promise from Christ that in this life or the next, we can depend on him to make it right, to overcome the world. And even if it never happens in our lifetime, even if we never see it happen in our life, that we can look forward to Christ overcoming the world. I can subscribe to that. Now, here's the thing. If I wish that I had an ending to this sermon that would sort of be, it's either 12 CDs for a penny or a $19 Hootie and Blowfish album, because that's sort of my experience with religion. Your mileage may vary. And I wish I could give you like a perfect, this analogy breaks down at this point. I'll just say this, and I'm unhappy about that, because there's nothing I like better than an analogy that ties up perfectly, but it's not either of those. It's not, hey, it's so good, all you got to do is raise your hand and life will be perfect. And the reason why you've never heard me say that at Action Church is because I don't find that to be true from life or from Scripture. But it's also not, hey, it's drudgery. $19 Hootie and the Blowfish. It's going to be a life of doing things you don't want with people you don't like for reasons you don't understand, and maybe you'll make it into heaven. It's neither of those, I think. And I've probably never put a slide up this like again, but I think what Jesus was asking us is, he's like, I want you to be a blowfish. That's the best I can come up with. He wasn't saying like free CDs or, hey, you're going to overpay. It's going to be, he's going, guess what? I want you to join the band. I don't want to be a blowfish. I know you don't want to be a blowfish, but that's really more what the subscribe thing is when I think about it. And it ruins my analogy, but it makes me very happy when I think that that's what Jesus was saying. And I've been in bands, like, that's sort of the ultimate subscription. It's sort of like the best and the worst that you could offer someone, going, you're in the band. You guys know that. And then, like, you think it's going to be amazing, and then you find yourself at 2 a.m, like, you go, I didn't realize being in the band meant I'd be in a smelly van at 2 a.m, driving back from some place where I didn't make enough to, like, pay the food with $20,000 worth of PA equipment. Like, that is, it's both, man. And so I want to spend the rest of this time this morning just sort of inviting you to subscribe to that thing, to this idea that Jesus gave us, I think is powerful beyond belief, honestly. This idea that in this world, man, I'd like to tell you, if you just say this prayer, if you just subscribe to Jesus, life's going to be perfect, but it isn't. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. In this life or the next, I'm going to make it right. And here's the thing about it, guys, and I want to invite you just in a moment to join me in communion. But the things that hurt the most, the deaths and the illnesses and the divorces and all the things, truthfully, as much as we'd like to, we can't control those things anyway. But we can depend on our Savior. And so I want to pray with you, and then we're just going to line up and we're going to take some of the bread and some of the grape juice, and we're going to remember Jesus in the way that he asked us to remember us. And it's a simple thing, and if you're not subscribed to the idea of Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you don't have to do it. In fact, you probably shouldn't. Don't feel pressured, because it's dark in here and nobody cares. But if you do subscribe and you go, yeah, I do want that. I want to join the band. I want to be part of that. This is a great physical manifestation of that. And so I'd like to pray with you, and then we're just going to have communion time together. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus. And thank you for an incredible invitation to be part of eternity with you. And God, I know we have, just in the few people we have here today, God, I know there are so many stories, so many heartbreaks, so many difficulties. And God, We'd love it if you'd just take all those away. And in fact, we know you have the power. But God, we know you didn't promise that. So God, thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be part of this plan that you have for us, this plan of eternal life, this plan of justice, this plan of repayment in the end. God, this plan of a place where no one dies and no one's ill and no one's hurt and no one's broken and no one cries and no one suffers. And God, we thank you so much for that. We are grateful for the gift of Jesus. And thank you for overcoming the world. We need it very much. In your name we pray. Amen.